So, guess what's happening in Vegas? These guys. Oh, yeah, and a boxing match and all other great stuff. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, back in studio, Michael Pearson keeping us on air out here at the MGM Grand in beautiful Las Vegas. And it's a Friday. Let's have some fun if you want to get on the show. No calling because we really can't take any calls today. But what we can do is you can hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. 713-780-3776, and Facebook, find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go, and we're going to be very interview-heavy today, and they're going to be coming hot and heavy, so bear with us. Be a little bit different show than what you're used to, but it's going to be fun.
What's going on, Fowler?
Everything, brother.
Sports, mostly.
Living the life, yeah, sports and music and poker, you name it. We have a very interesting guest coming up here in just a couple of minutes. That we're going to jump right in. You know, we like to talk a little bit of gambling on here. If you're not familiar with Vegas Dave, this guy has just – he's become huge over the last couple months.
He's on a tear.
He is on a tear. He had the Royals at 30-1. He had Holly Holm, had the Broncos at 16-1. He just kills it on the futures. So we're going to talk to him in just a couple minutes. Does not do boxing, interestingly enough, but very good at MMA also.
Yep.
So we're going to spend a couple minutes with him and – we'll have Freddie Roach later in the show. We'll have Roy Jones Jr. later in the show. I'm sure we'll have Jim Lampley. We're working on all kinds of stuff here. So it's going to be fun. Plus, we've got Vegas stories for you. And I am predicting Monday, a Monday show, which we will be doing at Christian's Tailgate, by the way. I predict we will have one of the best Vegas stories ever. From what's happening, what we're going to be doing tonight, which that's just a tease.
Okay.
We will share that later in the show.
Okay.
When we have a little more time to talk about it. But lots going on out here. And obviously, we're here for Pacquiao and Bradley, which will be tomorrow night. And should be very exciting. But, this is somebody had asked yesterday how this compared to, say, Mayweather and those other fights, what the excitement level was. Wandering around town today, I would say the excitement level is higher than I've ever seen. I don't think it's all just for the fight. And you have your usual fight crowd, and obviously Pacquiao brings a lot of people.
Right.
But I think people are just excited about the opening of this arena and Guns N' Roses being in tonight.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and so imagine what tomorrow night is going to be like with Guns N' Roses playing right across the street and the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight here.
Yeah.
That's going to be nuts. I don't think I want to be wandering around the casino at that time of night.
We get to do both.
Yeah, I know. This is awesome.
That's the life.
I know. Yeah, well, we were very fortunate to get really good tickets for Guns N' Roses tonight. So, and this is one of the toughest tickets to get anywhere right now.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's
even just to get inside.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to get to do better than that. So, anyway, 832 asks, what are the odds? Oh, wait, it's Friday. Well, the odds are we're going to have talk to a really interesting gambler. And he's also had some issues with the casinos now. But, I think what I like about him is the way he talks about future bets. And I'm looking forward to asking him about him because it's some of the same strategies that we've employed. Certainly not to that level of success.
Right.
But, Yeah, so that's coming up, too.
If only the Cavs had won last year.
Yeah. Hey, that was – I still think that was a brilliant play. Matt asked, how did you do in the poker tourney last night? That's the first time I've actually gotten ticked off in a while. I bubbled.
I saw it coming. And this is – Fred and I have been on the bubble in three or four tournaments just, since we've been here. Yeah. One of us has finished on the bubble. But I saw last night – I as soon as I saw the cards go out, I said, oh, Fred is going to be super salty about this. And it ended up being so.
Yeah. All right, great. So let's bring him in right now. Very much looking forward to this. I want to thank my friend Jason Price, who's a mutual friend, for hooking this up. Vegas Dave Wancha, who is you've become a huge star here over the last few months as people have found out about you. But you've been doing this for a long time, Dave. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Can you speak a little louder? I can barely hear you.
Yeah, John, can you turn us up a little bit? How's this? Is this better?
A little bit better. I mean, if you turn up a little bit more, it'd be a lot better. I can barely hear you.
All right. Okay, well, full blast? Okay, we're good. So let's talk a little bit about How big you've become here over the last couple of months. You've become an internet star, man. What's that like?
I mean, I've already pretty much been a public figure in the city for a while now, but ever since, you know, the big run of the Royals, the Broncos, the Holly Holm, the Misha Tate, and just all those back-to-back future wins, it's just pretty much putting the spotlight. So it's been a little overwhelming, but I just focus on myself and just focus on the next big project, which is, you know, trying to hit the World Series next in November again.
I noticed you take a lot of prices, and I know on the Super Bowl you take one from each league. Is that kind of a standard approach for your future bets?
I take my main team, which was the Broncos, and then I'll also take a team on the opposite, you know, in different conference. So I obviously took one in the NFC, which was Arizona, and my goal is that both would make it to the Super Bowl, and I put myself in a no lose situation. Unfortunately, Arizona lost to Carolina, but I had Denver, so I got, you know, it worked out for me. With the Royals, I had the Royals at the beginning of the year. I gave that out to my players the first week of baseball. At the All-Star break, I gave out Texas Rangers to win the AL West when they were in last place. I knew they were going to have a good run, and they ended up winning that division, so that was another big payout for me as well. So basically, I had Texas and Kansas City, but pretty much 120,000 in Kansas City and 10,000 in Texas. So that paid me really well again one more time.
And when you're looking at future plays, is there a certain number that you have to have in terms of what the odds are, or is it you going to lock in on the team?
Well, you know what? I'll never give out the favorites. So, like, for example, this year the Giants and Cubs are 4-1 and 5-1 favorites. I'll never give out the favorites. For me to have any benefit for my players, they have to be plus 1,000 or higher, so 10-1 odds or higher. So everything that I've hit all my future bets going back the last 5 years, the Red Sox to the Ravens, they were all plus 1,000 to plus 3,000. I mean, the Broncos was plus 1,600, and the Royals was plus 3,000. So I make sure there is value, and I'll never give out the favorites to win it all.
Dave, you're killing it on MMA, too, and you had Holly Holm. You had Misha Tate to beat Holly Holm. Is the same thing? Are you looking for a certain number there that you're going to play, or was that just you like those fighters better?
Well, I just knew, you know, in pro sports, there's so much parity. That's why I knew Carolina wasn't going to win. They're not going to win that many games in a season in pro sports, different from college. And pro fighting is very hard to win. It's so many consecutive fights. I just thought it was a good spot for Ronda to lose. She hasn't went, you know, she's never went more than one round in her last three or four fights. I knew Holly was a, you know, world-class kickboxer, that if it went past one round, I had a chance at plus 1,100. That was huge value. Misha, that was totally different. Me and Misha went on the air on MMA Junkie. We spent some time talking, and after speaking to her for 10 minutes, I told her she was going to be the next champion. That was before she even got the call from Dana that she'd be fighting Holly Holm. I just knew from speaking to her, I'm a very intuitive person. She's very cerebral. She's very smart. And I just knew I just felt it. She'd be the next champion. And I told her that if she ever got that title fight, I'd make the biggest wager in MMA history on her. And I kept my word, and fortunately it paid off. It was a pretty big payout.
When I'm betting MMA, I'm looking to typically I'm looking to fade these sort of hype machines, and Ronda was one of them. Conor McGregor was another for me. Did you look at going against Conor when he fought Nate Diaz?
I didn't really look at it because I had so much money, close to $100,000 on Misha, that I was just focused on that fight. I don't want to pick multiple fights, and I'd just rather put my eggs in one basket, just focus on that one fight. And plus, I didn't like the fact that Diaz got called up with 3 weeks' notice. I didn't think he would have had the preparation that he had, but it was just too many different things going on with that fight for me to feel confident in. I mean, when I bet, I never bet less than 20,000 to 30,000, so I have to be pretty confident. And I knew in my heart Misha would win that fight, so I just put all my eggs in one basket on that fight.
Dave, what's going on with you and all the casinos now? How are you getting your bets down these days? It seems like everybody's nobody wants you in there.
Just mostly consulting. I got some futures in to win the World Series this year, and I'm done. I mean, casinos don't like to lose. They know I figured out a way to beat them with the futures. You know, most people don't have the balls to lay down $100,000 on a future bet and let it ride for 7 months and then cash out. And they know that if I'm not comfortable with the team that I have, that I could always hedge to make good money because I got my bets in at such a good price at over plus 1,000. So a lot of the casinos, they cut my action. Caesars told me they will not allow me to place any more future bets ever. I can place straight bets for 5,000, no more future bets. And all the other casinos have cut me off or limited my future bets. So there's no value. The casinos have all the advantages as is, and they have the right to refuse business. And, you know, they want losers in the cities, not winners. So it's pretty much a no-win situation for me. So I just consult now. I have over 4,500 players I sell packages to. It still generates me a great income. I would love to bet. You know, baseball is my favorite time of the year, but, you know, I don't trust the casinos anymore. So just going to stick to the consulting side now.
Well, tell people how they can get your information. I know you got a website. It's VegasDave.com.
Yeah, www.itsvegasdave.com, or they can just email me directly at VegasDave1976@yahoo.com. I pretty much work around the clock just because I'm consulting for so many people around the world. So I always email back within 20 or 30 minutes. I'm pretty much on it. Baseball is my best sport. I haven't had a losing season yet. You know, we had a huge payout with the Royals at plus 3,000 last year, and pretty much know who I think is going to make it to the World Series this year, and I'm not picking the favorites once again. So hopefully it'll be another big payout for my players and myself, as this is the last year I'm betting futures in Las Vegas.
All right, that's Dave watching Vegas Dave. And Dave, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on the show, and you're my kind of degenerate, man. Keep it up.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Dave Wancha. That dude is, I'm telling you, he's killing it. I mean, those, but what I like, it's that strategy is the same thing that I'm going to do with the Stanley Cup, where I take two teams and I never take less than 10-1. So it's kind of cool to hear somebody who's having that kind of success employing the same strategies. It kind of justifies what you're doing a little bit. All right, we're going to have Jim Lampley next, but right now I got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, and the only negative about being in Las Vegas is I don't get to sleep in my great custom-made bed from Texas Mattress Makers. Spring's in the air, time to clean out everything. Get that new mattress right now because you can get it custom-fitted, and they're going to make it just the way you want it. And this is another cool thing that they can do at Texas Mattress Makers. If your wife likes a soft bed and you like a hard bed, they can put those two together. They can make her side one way and your side another. And right now, huge spring savings just for you. How about this? Queen pillow top sets for as low as $245. They normally retail around $479. King size, $349 at the factory, where you'd spend around $680 elsewhere. They're available in different feels, and they're handcrafted quality mattresses. It's all there for you to see. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. Go to TexasMattressMakers.com or visit us at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And once again, very happy to have on the show one of our favorite guests whenever we come out here. Jim Lampley joins us. Jim?
Oh, I bet you say that to all the guests.
He does.
He does.
Yeah, well, no, you know what? Just Freddie Roach. That's the only other one. How's that?
Okay, good. Well, I'm happy to be in good company with Freddie.
So you're at least in the top three. How's that?
Excellent.
So one of our favorites. That's accurate. Hey, I want to ask you first about the fight game, which I think is a really, really well-done show. I know you've got another one coming up here.
Next Wednesday night, yes.
How is that being received, and how much fun are you having doing that show?
Well, the fight game has shockingly good ratings, and when I say that, I'm not the one who's shocked, but I know there are a couple of people at the network who are surprised at what it shows about the resiliency and the commitment of the boxing audience. One of the best things that can happen to a program like the Fight Game is that the rating becomes predictable, and you're getting basically the same audience every time with a constant loyal return, and that's what's happening. So I have tremendous gratitude to boxing fans who are showing up and demonstrating their passion and their commitment for boxing and watching the Fight Game, and thank you so much for asking. Again, it airs next Wednesday night.
And you guys basically have one episode a month. Is that pretty much?
It's eight episodes a year, okay, at this point. Eight per year. So there are a few months when it doesn't happen, but most months it will.
So I was eavesdropping while you were talking to Michael Pearson before you came on, and we were talking about how we're going to Guns N' Roses tonight, and you're not.
Oh, you are going to the Guns N' Roses concert.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
That's fantastic.
But you have a little connection there to Axl Rose.
I actually lived uphill from Axl in the Hollywood Hills a long time ago. This is maybe 24, 25 years ago. We were neighbors. I bumped into him at the corner store a couple times. So I'm happy for him and happy for the whole group that they're still able to ply their trade and buy their lunch.
Well, that was back in the days where I'm sure that he was bringing all kinds of drugs and women and stuff in that age.
Those are the rumors, of course.
If you've seen Axl lately, let me tell you, he's still paying for lunch and dinner and second dinner and all of that stuff as well.
I'm sure he is.
He's eating. He's eating.
That's good.
Well, let's get to this fight Saturday night. And we talked to a lot of people about is Bradley going to be a different fighter because of Teddy Atlas and what we saw in the last fight. But can we judge that because of the opponent? Do you think we're going to see a different fighter in Bradley? And how do you see it playing out?
Well, I do think that there's room in the envelope for Teddy Atlas to improve some elements of Bradley's game. It's a fine-tuning kind of improvement. It's not some dramatic change in style or approach. That's not going to happen. But the biggest reason to believe that Teddy Atlas can be a positive for Tim Bradley is that Tim Bradley believes that. When the fighter has an innate belief in the trainer and is listening and paying attention and thinks that he's going to learn something new, then that's the best opportunity for that to happen. But at the end of the day, by the stage of your career at which Tim Bradley now finds himself, you're pretty well defined, and not much is going to change in terms of the way you go into the ring and the things that you try to do. If you were to ask me, do I expect to see something different than what's happened in the first 24 rounds of Pacquiao versus Bradley, I don't know if there's any reason to expect that. Unless one or the other has fallen completely off the diving board, I think that most likely round one is round 25 tomorrow night, and it's still going to be a question of whether Bradley can handle the quicker, more athletic, more mercurial Pacquiao in the ring.
I think Bradley's an interesting fighter because he's kind of a quiet, understated guy. Do you think that holds him back a little bit in terms of interest? Because I think boxing fans like watching him fight, but he's not a guy who's bombastic. He's not out there calling people out. Do you think if he did that maybe he'd be an even bigger star?
No. I think the simpler answer is that he doesn't have knockout power. And at the end of the day, casual fans want to see knockout power. And there may be a fair number of true boxing aficionados who can appreciate Tim Bradley, the craftsman, and can appreciate his ability to think his way through fights and maybe make an adjustment here and there, et cetera, that's going to win it for him. But at the end of the day, we all know that Tim Bradley is trying to win without being able to knock people out. And the kinds of people who can become giant stars in the current atmosphere of boxing are Gennady Golovkin, Sergey Kovalev, destroyers who can go in and hurt you and knock you out.
Do you think that there's pressure on Bradley in a fight like this, where if he loses a second time to Pacquiao, and most people think he's lost three times if he
right.
loses, that maybe he's no longer a viable pay-per-view draw at that point? Because like you said, he's not the kind of fighter that the casual fan is willing to put down money to see. Does that draw concern at that point?
I don't think Bradley has ever been a viable pay-per-view okay. draw. I believe that, you know, when you've seen Tim Bradley in pay-per-views, it was against Manny Pacquiao, a global icon who is absolutely a pay-per-view star. Juan Manuel Marquez, who had the Mexican audience behind him, the same audience which now fuels the biggest economic attraction in the sport, Canelo Alvarez. And never has Bradley been the A-side of a pay-per-view. And I'm not sure that a victory tomorrow night would take him to that level either. What it would do for him is, at least for the moment, in the eyes of most boxing critics, it would stamp him as the number one welterweight in the world. And he's never been the number one welterweight in the world. He's never risen to that level in the division. So this would be a new thing for him. And then the question would be, have political divisions eroded enough, or will they erode enough, that he can begin fighting people like Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, who are on the other side of the political fence? Or does he have to alter his perspective on whether he would ever fight Terrence Crawford? Because the real rising tide in our political neighborhood at 140 and eventually at 147 pounds is Terrence Crawford. And, you know, Freddie Roach is quoted as saying that Terrence Crawford wasn't ready to fight Manny Pacquiao this time around. I don't believe that. I think the bigger question was Manny Pacquiao ready to fight Terrence Crawford? And I think that it's a real hindrance in Bradley's career at this point if he sticks to his mantra that he's never going to fight Terrence Crawford because they're such good friends.
A fight that looks like it's going to happen, Kovalev and Andre Ward, looking ahead a little bit. How do you see that? I'm excited about that one, as I have been in a while.
I think it's one of the most fascinating matchups, and maybe the most fascinating matchup you can make in boxing. Most people think they know who wins a fight between Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. Most people don't seem to think they know for sure who wins a fight between Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev, because it's such a fascinating style matchup. If there's any fighter alive who has the craft, the approach, and the qualities necessary to blunt Kovalev's power, it's Andre Ward. And if there's any fighter alive who can break open Andre Ward's brilliant tactical envelope and expose a weakness in his chin, if it happens to exist, it's Sergey Kovalev. So that's a fight we desperately want to see.
If you could get Golovkin and Canelo, how big would that fight be?
Well, I think Golovkin-Canelo is the biggest fight economically in the sport, not so much because of Golovkin as because of Canelo. And also, you know, the promotion would help people to – anybody who does not now know that Gennady Golovkin has 21, soon to be 22 straight knockouts, 34 straight, soon to be 35 straight wins. I'm presuming here a knockout win over Dominic Wade on April 23. Anybody who doesn't know that now would learn it through the course of a promotion for the fight with Canelo Alvarez. We absolutely have to see it. I sincerely hope that it's going to happen. I still believe that Canelo is the kind of competitor who understands that boxing's appeal is based on risk and that he's got to take the risk of fighting Gennady Golovkin.
All right, one last one before we let you go. Obviously, you need a prediction. How do you think it's going to go tomorrow night?
I think you've seen the fight twice before, and so I fully expect Manny Pacquiao to win a unanimous decision victory over Tim Bradley tomorrow night.
All right, that's Jim Lampley. Jim, appreciate your time as always, and love the show on HBO. Keep it up, man.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And it's 2 years ago, actually, and I think we were in Vegas where I saw a picture of me. I'm like, oh, really? Dude, you got to do something. So went to Quick Weight Loss Center. They helped me get weight off to the point where I'm able to do all kinds of things I couldn't do then. And I'm out. I'm running every weekend. Today, did 6 miles this morning. I couldn't have walked a mile 2 years ago. I was in such bad shape. But thanks to Quick Weight Loss, man, I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. They can do the same thing for you, and it's easy. There's no exercise while you're doing it, no prepackaged meals. Great deal for you. 6 weeks for $66. All weight loss services included. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 Houston-area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com or give them a call at 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for over 39 years.
Here's David DeLotti.
And we begin with round two of the Masters. This Masters update is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1968. Jordan Spieth is not having a great day, but he leads in round two. Spieth double bogeyed the fifth hole today. He's one over today, but through one over today through 14 on the tournament. He's five under. Amateur Bryson DeChambeau, SMU guy, is two shots back, as is Rory McIlroy. Jason Day shot a one over 73 today. Day says the winds are tough.
If you're shooting even par or better, you're jumping forward a little bit.
Day is one over for the tournament. The Astros continue their opening road trip at the Brewers this evening. Scott Feldman takes his turn on the mound, hopefully giving a better performance than the last couple of Astros starters. Chase Anderson pitches for the Brewers. Jake Marisnik gets his first start of the season for the Astros in the outfield tonight. From the NBA, oh boy, the Rockets are really looking at a task to make the postseason now. Three games left for the Rockets. They're a game and a half behind Utah for the final spot, two and a half behind the Mavericks. And again, three games left on the season. Utah is home for the Clippers tonight. For diamond engagement rings and fine Swiss watches, visit Zadok.com. I'm David DeLotti. More of The Blitz is coming up on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we'll get to your phone calls and whatnot, but right now one of the fighters that everybody talks about is sitting with us, Sergey Kovalev. Joins us. Sergey, how are you, sir? It's good to see you again.
Hello, guys. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great, my friend. Now, talk about the fight that everyone's talking about, the Andre Ward fight, and the difference in styles between you two guys. And we just talked to Jim Lampley, and he said it's amazing how styles make fights, and you guys have about as different styles as you could be. You're a very fan-friendly. You're a power puncher. Everybody loves to see it. He's more of a technician. What do you think about that fight? Obviously, I didn't think you'll win, but what do you think about the...
Yes, it's very good and very dangerous opponent. That he's a very good boxing skills he has, and he's very smart, and he's an uncomfortable boxer, like opponent, you know. And... It's going to be my hugest test, who I am, you know, good boxer or not good boxer I am.
Well, I think you're a good boxer no matter what.
But we'll see, you know. Thank you, guys.
This is how you'll figure out if you're the best boxer.
For myself, I need to approve, you know, and get victory over this guy, sure. He's a Olympic champion. He's already said enough that he's a very, very good boxer. But everything should be will happen if we will win for one more fight, not later than June, over of June. On contract,
right.
We should to fight one more fight me and
one more for him.
One more fight for him. And only after our victories, it fights could be happen.
Is it difficult to to fight someone, and obviously in a fight anything can happen, and you always have to think about that, but is it difficult not to look ahead to a fight like that? Because if you're given an opponent and you say you've got to fight this guy, but then after that you're going to fight Andre Ward, is it difficult to take that opponent, the first opponent, as seriously as you probably should?
I grew up like that, and I don't know how exactly explain on English, but I will try. Not doing up till you don't do it. You know, like if you will be thinking about this fight, but you can lost next fight.
Right.
You know, because your mind and your attention will be already over your next fight. It's not right.
You're a guy
it's
who
wrong things.
You have not been deep into too many fights. A lot of your knockouts are first, second, third round knockouts. You just finished 7 rounds with Pascal, and that was one of your longest fights. And I think the first fight with him may have been your longest fight. Do you feel like you're prepared to go 12 rounds if you have to go 12 rounds with Ward?
This fight could be 12 rounds, but who knows? Nobody knows. What's about the last fight that I won 7 rounds? I tried and I wanted to boxing all 12 rounds and make a pain to this guy because he's a really trash talker, and he lost a bet that he's offered his bet for $50,000,
uh-huh.
And he didn't pay it.
Oh no!
He didn't
to you?
Pay. No, not to me. I should to say account number of Children's House, you know.
To a charity.
Yeah. And he should to send him. He must to be sent this money because he's a lost. He's bad.
And he didn't pay it.
And I don't want to speak about him at all.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Sergey Kovalev is our guest. You just saw him. He punished Jean Pascal because Jean Pascal is not a good guy, apparently, and he punished him for it as long as he could. For you, this fight that's coming up tomorrow night between Pacquiao and Bradley, they fought twice already. Pacquiao's been better than him twice. The thing says 1-1, but Pacquiao was the better man both fights. Do you see anything being different for this third fight with these guys?
I think so. Right now, Bradley is more motivated, and it could help him in this fight. But Pacquiao right now got back to the same conditioning. Mm-hmm. What he was before his knockout from Marquez.
Oh, yeah, one member Marquez, yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting fight. And it's the most, I like it, undercard.
Oh, you like the undercard fights better?
Undercard, a lot of interesting fights is going to be because a lot of my friends fighting and...
Who should we be looking for on the undercard? What's the best undercard fight we should be watching?
It's my secret, okay?
Okay. All right. Hey, we'll take it.
But a lot of guys and my friends are fighting an undercard. I don't want to, like, get a select, you know?
Okay.
Because it's my friend. Everybody. But
fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
That's Sergey Kovalev. Hopefully, we'll be seeing him taking on Andre Ward later on this year. Appreciate you taking some time with us, sir. One of the best in the world.
Thank you, guys.
Best of luck to you. You're one of my favorites to watch, for sure. Everybody loves to watch you fight, so we all wish you luck, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. You gave me one more motivation for future.
All right. There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sergey.
Thanks, Sergey. Appreciate it.
All right. We still got a couple minutes here, so let's get caught up. I always enjoy talking to him.
Oh, he's the best.
He's funny, and he's got a great sense of humor. And that
plus
guy,
people who speak with a Russian accent, it makes me laugh.
Oh well, you know I love Russian accents, but he's always smiling. That dude always has a smile on his face. He's always enjoying himself, and His English is picked up a little bit.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there. He was trying to say that, you know, Pascal wasn't a good guy.
Yep.
So that came across.
Yes, I said he was supposed to pay $50,000 to a charity, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, so he's not going to talk about that guy. There were probably five drops in there that we should save.
Probably.
From that interview that I'm sure will be useful later. But yeah, if you haven't seen this guy fight, man, he's a monster. We talk about when we had Lampley on, it's about how guys that knock people out are what people want to see. Well, this guy knocks people out. I can't wait for that fight.
Yep.
All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. We should I think that'll be it for guests for a little while until we have RJ at 5:30. So I think we can sit back and get into some of the topics you guys want to get into. But I did want to follow up because we didn't get a chance to finish this part of it. While poker did not go well for me last night, you finished second.
I did. I caught some breaks, and I ended up lasting for a while. Our friend Roger, who was out here, he got third, so we both finished in the money. But the guy – and normally I'd have a story of why I didn't win. The reality is the guy that beat me heads up is a better player than me. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not the best player in the world. That guy that was sitting across from me is a better player than me. He just frustrated me, and he ended up taking me down and did what I could do, but I was no match. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good tournament.
That was only the one really bad tournament that I played, and it wasn't – yeah, it was one of those where I kept getting good cards and getting in pre-flop with a bunch of hyper-aggressive people that I never hit. And I looked down, and my chip stack's gone.
That was a crazy tournament, though. Yeah. There were three times over the course of that tournament, someone hit quads.
Yeah, yeah.
And two times at the same table within 10 or 15 minutes of each other.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the two people that got quads got them against each other. Yeah. But and then so I played the late tournament, and that's the one I bubbled in. So this will be my first Ofer in years, so happens. That, you know, I admit I was a little ticked at the end of the one last night. I took the other ones pretty well. That one I was just, oh well. And then I walked around, took 20 seconds, came back, and we all went out and had a good time. 281 says, please interview more Russian dudes. That was great. I love it.
Every chance we get,
I love
me.
It. Yeah, it's hard for him sometimes because There's things he clearly wants to be able to say, and he just can't quite put it to English. But that was fun. I enjoyed that. All right. Quick break. Maybe we'll talk a little. We'll talk about your Rockets when we come back.
Oh,
can we do that?
Yes.
Your favorite team? It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to text the show or hit us up on Twitter. At Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. We're having a finals party at House of Blues. What is this? That's the old one.
That's an old one.
Yeah.
We're not having a finals party.
No, we're not having a.
We did.
We did. It was fun. Loved it, but no, we didn't. How did that get that one? Yeah, this is that's the wrong one. So,
that's on me.
That's okay, John. I at least stopped it before I kept reading. I'll just make one up here. Come join us Monday at Christian's Tailgate. We'll be hanging out all day. We'll be drinking like fiends. We'll be having a good time. Christian's Tailgate downtown, the new one, where I hang out a lot. How's that? Is that good, John? Okay. Awesome. So our lives don't suck. We get sent out here to Vegas for this, and thanks to some really good friends of mine, we get to go see what I think is the hottest ticket in Vegas right now.
It might be.
I was looking at SeatGeek just to see the cheapest ones. There's a couple for like $325,
and that's like,
and that's
upper
way
level,
upper level, and the one premium seat on there is $1,200. So,
and we've got suite tickets,
yep,
VIP access,
yep.
It's going to be a good night.
I am very fortunate that I have some fantastic friends that, you know, that we do a lot for each other, and they managed to hook us up with this. So I'm sure we will have some stories from whatever happens tonight, because we're going with a fun crew, and we're gonna get to do something really cool. So I guarantee you Monday we'll have some recaps for you. So yeah, it's pretty rare in life that people get to do some of the things that we've been fortunate enough to get to do, and you know, so hopefully we'll be able to share some stories with the Blitzers.
Hopefully so.
But yeah, this is gonna be fun.
Did you see the story on Nerlens Noel?
I did not.
Nerlens Noel is being sued because he destroyed the home that he was renting last year. He rented a 4,800 square foot house outside of Philly in September of 2014, paid $54,000 for a 1-year lease.
Wow.
But he did not treat it all that well. In the lawsuit, the owners of the home list all the damage they found after Noel moved out in August of 2015. Splashed neon-colored sports drinks such as Gatorade on the carpets throughout the home. $30,000 in other damage to carpets. Extreme water damage throughout the home. Clogged toilets filled with cotton balls and feces.
What?
In fact, the owners say the plumber who fixed the toilet told him the damage was so bad, he said, someone must not like you. Broken elevator. $4,000 in damage to the stove. What kind of stove can you do $4,000 of damage to? Isn't that a new stove?
Yeah.
Damage to the fridge, damage to the blinds, damage to the dishwasher, torn window screens. The owners also say they found weed and roaches from joints in the house, including pieces of marijuana in the master bathroom drawers. The owners say they demanded $42,000 to repair the damage. But the day after they sent the demand, a tombstone with the words RIP mysteriously appeared on the front steps of the property. The owners believe it was Noel's doing and are considering it a death threat. They're now suing Noel for all sorts of reasons, including assault, because they believe harm is imminent and want more than $75,000 for their troubles.
Okay, how can a guy with one leg do that much damage?
I don't know. I don't understand what is he so upset about? That he's going to trash the house. I don't get that.
Who does that?
I don't know.
I mean, I can understand getting drunk and doing something stupid, but who does all that? Let's.
You want to talk about the other basketball?
Yeah, I want to talk about the local basketball team.
Okay, we could talk that.
Because,
Fred, you know what? I'm not an I told you so guy.
Oh, yes, you are. Do it. Do it. You know you want to. You know you want to. And it's not you told me so, because I was kind of with you.
I'm just talking to the people in general. I'm not an I told you so guy usually, but today I will be. This Rockets team is so junky, and they suckered all of you. You were all fools for buying into this, because on paper, should they be good? Yeah, they should be. But this is, like I said, this is the most gutless, just mentally weak team that I could imagine. They should be so much better than they are. They have the talent to be so much better than they are. When you're fighting for a playoff spot and you lose to the Suns, who had lost seven in a row.
A team that can't win a game to save their life.
Not only that, but you lose at home and you blow a double-digit lead. I mean, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. The Rockets have no business in the playoffs. They didn't before last night. Now, I mean, it's a joke if they do make it.
I'd like to hear from all the people who are saying, oh, you're giving them no chance. They could get in the playoffs if they're
right.
Hot.
Everything where are those guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
All they're going to do is get hot for a minute. No. Guys, this team is junk. You guys need to look yourselves in the mirror, and I know you're Rockets fans. I get it. This is not a good team. This is not a good team. This is not a championship team. This isn't even a contending team.
This is not even a first. Right now, they're not even a first round playoff team.
No,
because they're not going to make it.
You know how hard it is to miss the playoffs in the NBA? It's damn near impossible.
Well, it usually in the West, it can be tough. It's not this year. This is not the same West that we've seen the last few years, where 45 wins isn't getting you in.
Yeah.
So honestly, we wrote these guys off months ago. And I know a lot of you guys thought we were idiots for it, but they're done, man. And 281 says, diehard Rockets fan, is it bad that I bought tickets to Sunday's game just to see Kobe one more time? No, that's the last time you're going to get to see Kobe. That's a goodbye. So, yeah, I don't know. It really is. The whole team's a mess. It starts with their best player. They're going to have to make some changes. And
well, the problem is they can't change him.
No, and as long as he's your best player. And I don't know that what you can do to go out. I don't know that I think you're married to him.
You are.
A couple of things.
For the foreseeable future, anyway. I mean, yeah. It's not a good spot.
MRK wanted a keyboard cat for Jong on the read there. Roy says, I've seen video. Axel don't sing good anymore.
We'll see.
That's okay. Even if he doesn't, you know, we're gonna be in a suite.
Yeah, it's going to be an event. Yeah, I'm guessing that
I know he's not going to sound as good, but
I'm guessing there will be a track playing behind him or something.
Yeah. Mike wants to know, do we ever take Jong to Vegas with us? I wish Jong could make a trip with us.
Jong doesn't want to come.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know that Jong can handle 2 days in Vegas with us, much less three or four. Although, I don't know. He might wind up passed out on a couch with a bunch of other guys.
I've been relatively tame this trip.
Yeah, actually.
I haven't done much drinking. I drank too much Red Bull. That was
the first night you did drink way too much Red Bull.
That was a big mistake on my part. But overall, I've been pretty low-key.
I've been a lot worse on trips here before. But we actually shut it down relatively early last night once we bounced around a little bit after those poker tournaments. But
yep.
Tonight is, wow. I was just, my friend just texted me how much those tickets are worth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, tonight I'm guessing is going to be pretty epic. We'll just say that. So, because we don't have to do a show tomorrow. I can sleep till 5 in the afternoon.
True.
If I want.
Yep.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, 713-780-3776. And, besides the Rockets, there's a couple other things that we'd like to get to. And I hope some of you took my advice on the over. And that.
Oh, my, good call on that.
That was pretty easy money.
I wouldn't mind discussing the latest sexual assault to take place in Waco.
Yeah, we need to get to that. And
No, this is not a repeat of last week's show.
No, or the week before, or 6 weeks ago. And we'll talk about it when we come back. It's just not good. All right. Another hour to go. No, 2 hours to go. We got a lot left to do here. We're in Las Vegas for Pacquiao and Bradley, the third in the installment. And available on pay-per-view on HBO. You want to check that out tomorrow night? Should be fun. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.